Welcome to Recalculating America, a program dedicated to small business in America. Recalculating will help you, the American small business owner, build a new business or help you to grow your existing one. Each week, experts will give you useful information about starting your new business, and you will hear from professionals selected to help you grow your business. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest and has many years of experience helping small businesses build and grow their businesses. Now he is sharing his ideas with you over the air. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money. He specializes in helping small business owners make their money work as hard as they do. Now, your host, Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins.
Good morning, Dan Perkins here, and I'm your co-host along with Don Mazzella in Recalculating, the radio program that has evolved out an award-winning book dedicated to helping small business leaders increase their profits. We draw our name from that book, which is a bestseller for business books in 2017 and named so by the Independent Press. This book features contributions of more than 100 presidents, experts, and leaders, all of whom offer you ways to grow your small business. Don? And Don's not on. As we talked in the pre-show, I am a huge consumer of Diet Coke. And today we have with us Ben Fleischer, founder of Pure Brands, America's first-to-market USDA-certified non-GMO project, Verified Stevia. And this is where his company is got a better way to sweeten soft drinks without the risk. So, Ben, welcome to the show.
Dan, thank you very much for the invite. And it's not just to be clear, it's not just about soda. We are, wherever sugar plays or artificial sweeteners, we are the best solution. So essentially, we're able to take sugar out of products and artificial sweeteners out of products. So we work with food, beverage, nutraceutical, cosmetic manufacturers globally. And what it comes down to is taste. If you can make something taste, you know, give consumers that sweet, sugary taste, that's all about the solution.
So I apologize for not showing the expansiveness of your product line. I'm just a huge consumer of that Diet Coke stuff. So anyway, tell us about your company, how it was founded, and a website, and a little bit about yourself.
You got it. Well, for the folks that are listening in, if you want to see a little bit about what we do, the company is called Pure Brands, and it's actually spelled with a Y. It's PYUREFWEET.com. That's the website, puresweet.com. And a little bit about our company. I started the company 10 years ago, completely accidental. I've always been into health, wellness, and fitness. And, you know, being an avid snowboarder and a yogi, I liked Red Bull. This was over 10 years ago, but I didn't like the sugar that was in it, and the sugar-free version had all the chemicals. So I was always kind of geeking out and reading the white papers on the effects of artificial sweeteners. So I had this idea to create a healthier version of Red Bull, taught myself how to formulate, moved into my parents' basement at 26 years old, and I actually taught myself how to formulate. And when I was developing the formulation, I was trying to make it natural and sugar-free. And I actually stumbled across an ingredient in a small natural trade store called stevia. And at the time, it wasn't approved by the FDA, and that it had a horrible aftertaste. So, you know, that was kind of my light bulb moment. I said, wow, this is a natural solution to artificial sweeteners and sugar. If I could actually figure out a way, well, there were two issues. One, it had a horrible aftertaste. It was like, if I could figure out a way to make this high-intensity sweetener taste good and taste like sugar, I could change the way how food, beverage, and nutraceutical companies make their food, as well as create retail products for stores for the health-conscious consumers, as well as diabetics. So this, to me, was like, wow, you know, this is my aha moment, you know. And for me, it was all about making change. And I knew at that time everything had high fructose corn syrup and artificial sweeteners. So that was kind of my my moment where, you know, I wanted to make change in this world, especially in the food industry.
Ben, I have to ask you this question based on what you just said. How old are you now?
I am now 38.
And when were you working in your parents' basement? What age?
I would say 26, 27.
26. When did you move out of your parents' basement?
28, and I moved down to Naples, Florida, and started creating these formulations. I actually changed my idea around. I was like, you know, this, I really want to focus my attention on stevia. And, you know, packed up my car, moved down to Naples, Florida in 2008 when the bubble hit, went with Chief, and just really got down to work formulations. I traveled all over the world, learned the ins and outs of harvesting the plant, talking a little bit about stevia. It's actually a plant derived from the sunflower family. They've been using stevia for hundreds of years in South America, as well as all over Asia. And, you know, to me, this was the holy grail of sweeteners. Go ahead.
I just got to ask you, did you go to college, and what was your major?
I did go to college. I went to University of Maryland, College Park, graduated 2001, and I graduated with a communication degree. Not necessarily a business degree, a communication degree.
So how long after you graduated did you start on your quest?
Probably, 5 years after I graduated. So, you know, right out of college, I got a job in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, dealing with commodities and ingredients. After that, I got sucked into a family business, which was the School of Hard Knocks, so learned a lot there. My family was in the bagel business. I had the opportunity to work for my dad, which was a great opportunity. I launched a few innovative products when I was working there. We launched the first certified organic bagel. After that, I saw the whole low carbohydrate craze come in. I actually pitched at 22 years old, the Atkins team, which is part of the Atkins diet. We figured out a way to make a low carbohydrate bagel. Wasn't the best tasting bagel on the market. However, we were moving 10 truckloads a week of this for a couple of years. So, you know, it was a good experience working in that space because I had an opportunity to really figure out my strengths, my weaknesses, and I really loved innovation, and I loved being first to market, and I loved creating new things. And, you know, from there, I got into a healthier version of Red Bull, taught myself how to formulate, and then into stevia.
So how big is your company now? How many people do you have working with you?
We've got roughly, you know, 15 with some interns. So, you know, the business is really lean. And what's interesting, just talking about the large scale of it, we're up against big food, multi-billion-dollar companies, sugar companies. And I started this company with $250,000 of all my own money. And I kept it lean. We were scrappy. You know, I mean, to put it in perspective, this is the first year we were able to really come out with a marketing campaign. So, you know, for sure you're going to start seeing Pierre on the map. If I answer that question for you.
Yeah.
So as far as how big we are, 15 strong, you know, we're growing 40% year after year. We've been cash flow positive over the last 5 years. So in the food industry, it's a tough industry. A lot of companies don't make money. Just to give some clarity about our business, we've got two divisions of our business. Not only do we have retail products, so basically we've got baking products, we have liquids, we have packets that you see on restaurant tables. We just launched the first certified organic non-GMO sugar-free honey, as well as a maple syrup that's all organic and sugar-free. So we're really first to market and innovative on the products that we develop. We're probably in close to 15,000 stores across the United States. We're in Whole Foods, we're in Wegmans, we're in Walmart, we're in Costco in Japan. We have international presence, and the distribution is only growing. We also have an industrial supply. So not only do we create retail products for health-conscious consumers and diabetics, We also have an industrial division, and what that means is we supply companies. We're in hundreds of food, beverage, nutraceutical, as well as cosmetic manufacturers globally. So, again, we help manufacturers take sugar out of their products and artificial sweeteners out of their products. So we've got two divisions of the business. So we have a really unique model for what we do. I would say the success is several reasons. One, we figured out taste. So there's a handful of other stevia brands on the market, but these are the companies that were doing artificial sweeteners, as well as sugar companies. So being that we're focused on one thing, stevia is a very complicated ingredient to work with. But, you know, one thing that we've overcome is taste. We coupled with quality. We were first to market, the first certified organic, non-GMO verified. So that kind of raised the bar and quality of the stevia that we developed and we launched into the marketplace. And, our consumers and our customers really appreciate the level of quality as well as taste. So the question is, how did we do this without marketing? It was really taste. You know, there's not all stevia is created equal. You know, companies like Sweet and Low, companies like Equal, they launched stevia products, but they were subpar products using ingredients like dextrose, which is sugar. And then there's sugar companies that are developing stevia products with sugar. So there's a lot of confusion out on the marketplace, but it's the integrity of our process. It's the quality of our stevia, it's the quality of the products that we develop, which is the point of differentiation versus the other competition. And quite frankly, that's why we're growing 40% year after year, because of the authenticity of what we do and how we do it.
Ben,
can I interrupt Dan?
Sure.
And ask Ben about how many pounds a year do you process in your various products?
Well, to put it in perspective, stevia is 350 times the sweetness of sugar. So for 1 pound of stevia, it's equivalent to about 350 pounds of sugar. So if you look at that small equation, we're selling roughly near, I would say, 50 metric tons of stevia a year. Metric tons, that's 50,000 kilos. There's 2.2 pounds in a kilo. So, I mean, you do the math. It's a lot of stevia that we're selling to food, beverage, nutraceutical, and cosmetic manufacturers, as well as, we do use that type of weight into our retail products that we sell across the United States.
Well, is there some common product that we might know that your compounds are in that we may?
You've got mail.
Yeah, we work with the Coca-Colas of the world. We're in their Honest Tea line or Honest Fizz. They have the soda line. We work with Organic Valleys. We work with Stonyfield Yogurt. We work with Campbell's. A lot of nutraceutical brands from Orgain to Vega. We're in cosmetic companies like Mary Kay, from EOS lip balms, those round lip balms that you see at every checkout. We're in a lot of products. So our niche in the marketplace, if you walk into a Whole Foods and you look on the back of a package and you see organic stevia, again, our niche is organic. So I would say 95% of the time we are a supplier of those products.
We're pretty knowledgeable in the food area, and you seem to have been under the radar. What made you decide to come out and talk with us and other people?
Well, several reasons. One, we're finally getting on the map, and it's an interesting space. If you know a lot about the food industry, especially with big food right now. And sweetener and sugar companies, it's not an equal playing field. Obviously, when you start taking away some of their business, you know, and we're on the map, being that we're in the Walmarts across the world, we're in Nielsen data, we're in Spins. So now, not that we're a threat, being that we're organic and non-GMO, but we're certainly a player in the industry. We are for sure a top stevia brand in the marketplace, but, you know, I think it's the difference of us doing it right and doing authentically why we've survived versus some of these other companies like the Sweet and Lows of the world or Equal that's created stevia brands using lower quality ingredients like dextrose, which is sugar. You know, there is a point of differentiation of for what we do. And, you know, it is the David and Goliath story. And, you know, we're dealing, being that we're on the map, we're starting to see some pressure from, you know, from supermarket chains, for example. When we walk into a large chain and we have the solution, and this isn't me telling the story. This is me walking into a meeting saying, here's the data. If you want me to help your category grow 40%, this is how we do it. You know, we're focused on one thing, being organic, non-GMO, best-tasting stevia in the marketplace. Why wouldn't this make sense on your shelf? You know, without kind of seeing in between the lines a bit, I'm sure these buyers are getting pressure from the sugar companies who own the shelf space. So it's not necessarily an equal playing field. So, you know, why not tell the story? But it's okay. You know, as long as we keep growing 40%, it's a matter of time. While we get more shelf presence across the U.S. So, you know, I like to talk about what we're doing, seeing that we are authentic and we're doing it the right way and we're growing the right way. So, you know, it's not an easy task. But, again, if you believe in what you're doing, if you're doing it the right way, you know, essentially you'll overcome the challenges in any business.
Ben, I don't know what I've got to feedback, but I says I don't know why I've got all the feedback, but anyway, let me try. Yours is a remarkable story. In a difficult time in the economy over the last 8 years, you have built a business from the ground up. You are a great example for the people that are listening to our show about the American entrepreneur. Why do you think you've been so successful?
I think I've lost you guys.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. When you were asking that last question, it tailed off. I didn't hear what you said.
Okay, so I'll do it again.
Yep.
Excuse me. You're a tremendous success story as an example to the people who listen to the show. You built a business growing 40% a year in probably the most difficult time in the last 8 years to start a new business. What do you attribute to your success?
I would say focus. Being an entrepreneur, you know, having that kind of ADD mindset, you're all over the map. It's really taking a step back for what you do and focusing on one thing and doing it really well. At the end of the day, stevia is a very niche ingredient, but it needs a certain finesse. And I can attest to, you know, with the small team that we have here, you know, we're experts in the space. And a little bit about, you know, the team that we have in place, we learned this thing. I mean, stevia, it's still a relatively new ingredient. There's plenty of consumers out there and people that don't even know what stevia is. But being that we're focused on this one specific ingredient that needs a lot of attention and it needs a lot of knowledge and know-how to make it function in a day-to-day, I should say in food and beverage products, that focus that makes it cool in taste. If you don't have a good tasting food product in the industry, you got nothing. And I, you know, sugar reduction is a really challenging task. And, you know, you just got to pay attention and learn. And, you know, the reality is you can create the best business plan in the world, but it's always going to change. It's always going to change from, and you got to, if you're first to market in a space, you got to keep that buffer open to realize that it's not always going to be a straight line. And you got to be able to pivot when you need to pivot. And, you know, obviously in any business, you're going to make mistakes. We made plenty of mistakes along the way, and we're still making them. But take those mistakes as these are lessons. You know, try not to do it. If you're gonna see this again differently, do it a little bit differently. So, you know, again, it's focus. It's having the right team in place. It's, you know, it's never compromising the integrity of what you do. So I can cut that for the success for sure.
Let me go back to something you said earlier. The CVS, you were introduced to it, had a terrible aftertaste. Without giving away the trade secret, can you tell us how you solved that problem?
Yeah. I'll say this. Being that this is a plant, there's 200 different species of the plant. Not all stevia is created equal. So I'm sure a lot of consumers have tried stevia in the raw or Truvia. And when these products were introduced into the marketplace, you know, it kind of got a bad rap because stevia was known for having this aftertaste or having this metallic off note for lingering. It's back to the focus. So, you know, when I went out there and I traveled the world and learned the ins and outs of harvesting it, I found a specific species of a plant that yields what we call the sweet compound called Rebatioside A. And we figured out a way to essentially extract that at a very, very high percentage level, 98-99% purity. And that's what we figured out. And we found one species of the plant, and we oversee the entire process. So it's consistent. So there's a lot of stevia suppliers out there that will buy lower grade stevia and extract it. And the problem is when food and beverage manufacturers get these products and they use it in their formulations, their end result tend to be different from time to time. So the consumers would taste the product and be like, this didn't taste like the first batch when I bought a protein powder. I tried it once, the second time it tasted different. So I think the reason why we've been successful with taste is the process has been the same from the beginning. Now for us, it's innovation. You know, we're digging into the plant. We're still trying to find better ways to improve. You know, we like to pride ourselves of having the best tasting stevia, but still being innovative for what we do. And we're able to take the technology of our core sweetening component and develop the next generation of food and beverage products. So, you know, you asked me about soda in the beginning. You know, we've been working with soda. Last year, we launched the first certified organic non-GMO sugar-free chocolate that tastes incredible. And we're actually selling this almost as an ingredient to some of our customers that they're using, whether it's on a protein bar or, you know, in a dairy product. You know, we just launched the first certified organic non-GMO sugar-free honey and maple syrup. I mean, these things are not easy to create. And, and it comes down to taste. If you don't have a good tasting product, I'll say it again, you know, you got nothing. People will try it once and they'll pop it.
Give us a website where people can contact you.
Yeah, it's puresweet.com, www.pyureesweet.com. And you can also go to our YouTube. We just launched our first commercial this year. We've got two really, really creative commercials that were out there. It's got some good viral views. And that's on our YouTube channel, and that's at Pure Brands YouTube. And that's PYURE Brands, BRANDS YouTube.
Now, your product is dependent upon this plant. Do you grow it on your own property, or do you buy it from people?
No, we oversee a vertically integrated supply chain. 90% of stevia is actually coming from Asia. So we have partnerships, with our farmers as well as our extraction facility. And, you know, we've been working with the same operation for, you know, probably close to 9 years already. So, yeah, that's our process.
So we got about a minute left. Don, you have any questions?
Well, I have a lot of questions, but I guess the one I always ask, what are the two challenges that you faced that you overcame that come to mind?
Sure. I got a couple of them. From, you know, the taste of the plant, that was a big challenge. The quality, which is how we actually do it, being organic, non-GMO, that was not an easy task. Starting from zero, I started this company with $250,000. And I have zero investors, I have zero VC, and we've been cash flow positive for 5 years. And we're taking on big food companies and sweetener companies. How did we overcome them? But, you know, I need a lot more than a minute to answer that. But, again, it's focus. it's task, it's being authentic, it's doing it right. And, you know, that's really how you overcome it.
Well, that's number one. Number two, I guess, what are your future expansion plans?
Sure. Well, again, I want to keep this 40% year after year. In the future, it's, you know, innovation is being first to market with innovative products is that's kind of where, you know, what we're known for. So now we're getting into different categories. We're looking into different dry baking blends. We're looking into unique liquid formats of the stevia that could be, you know, advantageous for specific customers. You know, different iterations of chocolate. Now that we have the base of a really high quality dark chocolate, we can get into candy. We can get into confections. Anything with sugar is a definite opportunity. So we're really assessing the market and saying, all right, you know, we've got the sweetener category. You know, we're doing the Me Too products in the sweetener category. What area can we get into and be successful where there's an opening? So, you know, again, it's what products have a ton of sugar in it, whether it's cookies, whether it's brownies. It's an endless possibility. There's sugar saturated pretty much our entire supermarket shelf. So, you know, we're here trying to clean it up and, again, provide better options for health-conscious consumers that don't want all the sugar, as well as diabetics. You know, I didn't really touch on diabetics. There's, you know, 90 million type 1, type 2, and pre-diabetics that don't even know they have diabetes. Mm. So, you know, there's a great need for this market, these products in the marketplace.
Thank you. Well, we've been speaking with Ben Fleischer, founder of Pure Brand, a pure stevia product. Ben, thank you for sharing your exciting story with us. And we'll have you back and check your progress at 40% growth. We'll be right back
thank
after
you.
This message. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Dan.
We'll
Thanks,
be right
Dan.
Back after
you.
This
thank
message
you.
From our sponsor.
Don't let hackers get your data. Email is insecure and can't handle large files. Instead, use Biscom's Secure File Transfer product. Military-grade security that's as easy to use as email, and it can handle attachments of any size. Visit Biscom.com
okay,
for your free trial and make sure
echo?
Your private communications
yeah,
stay private. That's BISCOM.com.
We got to go. Well, welcome back. I apologize about the echo. We have our next guest. excuse me. There is a difference on how to approach women in business versus men. Those differences can mean a lot when building a career or a small business. Karen Brust is here to talk about those differences. Did I get your name right?
Yes, Karen Brust is how it's
Karen Brust. So, Karen, tell us a little bit about yourself and your business, and give us a website if you have one.
Sure, great. Well, my name is Karen Roos, and my website is meditationandmargaritas.com, which is what I'll be talking about a little about today. So my background, I was actually raised in a really small farm town in kind of the middle of nowhere in Idaho. But during my professional career, I ended up working with celebrities and public figures. So I've been jet-setting around the world with them for the last 15 years. And now I take the best of what they do to run their business and apply that to small businesses or just any entrepreneur that wants to make a bigger impact, that wants to leave a legacy, and also make more money because it costs money to really make a big impact, and that's the focus. Meditation and Margaritas is kind of the way of life. It's based off my personal experience, but to me it's more like a way of life or a mindset that really shows that, you know, people want to be happy, they want to be fulfilled, and, you know, at least especially for women, we have this natural ability to be very multifaceted and diverse. And for the women out there that really use that in the workplace, they're getting ahead, they're making more money, and they're just more happy in the long run.
What are some of the opportunities that you think women could benefit from using your service?
Well, definitely, if it's small businesses, you know, there's many different moving parts in a business. And you know, if you don't have someone to help you put all of those pieces in order and know how to organize yourself, and really the best business model out there is the celebrity business model. And unfortunately, most people don't really know how that works. But it's not about being a celebrity yourself unless you want. But they run an empire. They make the most money. They make the biggest impact. They're the most visible. You know, there's a certain point that you reach when you're that, you know, popular. You can promote anything that you're doing, and hopefully it's for a good cause. And if you have that structure set up from the beginning in your business, even when you're small and unknown, you will have a massive advantage later on in your business, and you'll be happier overall as well. So this is what I focus on helping people do.
And are you working in specific businesses with people?
You know, because I was a celebrity talent scout and producer, the great thing is that it's not industry specific. So you might be in basket weaving to sales to, you know, thought leadership. It really doesn't matter what you do. It's more really based on who you are and your authenticity and your essence as the core. But we have to be very strategic and business savvy to know how to make money, to know how to negotiate, know how to, you know, expand your network so you can really reach anybody in the world from A-list to your biggest role models. So there's a lot of different parts that are really essential in helping you, you know, have a successful business.
You only cater to women?
No. I mean, the meditation margaritas is a bit, that's kind of my fun thing that is a little bit more catered towards women. There's very cool meditation margaritas men as well. But no, actually, honestly, in the end, I end up working with an equal amount. And then in my career, really working with celebrities, I've worked mostly with men. So, I love everybody equally the same.
So when you talk about your business model, and you just said mm-hmm. that you kind of work equally with men and women in your margarita business, are there, when somebody walks in the door to a man and a woman, do you immediately tell significant differences between the two and how they're going
to? Yeah, it really depends on who the person is, but I will say there are certain men, and it's the same philosophy is working as an advantage to men. Men who can still be masculine if they so choose, but they're a bit more empathetic. They are not afraid to show some vulnerability or their emotions. Those men also are getting ahead. You know, the kind of the day and age where you just come in and be the tough guy and show up the next guy sitting next to you, that's over. People want to feel good about themselves, feel good about the work they're doing and the people around them. And so for the men that are able to show that vulnerability and still be confident in themselves, it's making a huge difference in the workplace and in business overall.
Let me just want to finish this one thought, Don. I'm sorry. You've opened up a fascinating subject that I've looked at for a long time. I'm not the kind of expert that you are, but in my business, I have to figure out people.
Exactly.
And I'm not necessarily very politically correct. I'm more honest than anything else. There is a sense in my working with, in what I do in managing money and radio and television. I have a sense that that manliness that you talked about has diminished in a great many men in our country today, and that there is a thirst for men who are men in the way you describe them, and yet we're not turning out as many as we used to. What do you say to that?
Well, I think it's time we give guys a break a little bit. I don't know. You guys can probably tell me better than because you are a man. But I feel like sometimes when I talk to men in the group with other guys, there's a little bit of a facade to be the tough guy. And then when I talk to them one-on-one, they're super – like they listen. They're good listeners. They almost have these female traits, which is not a bad thing at all. That just they're more empathetic. They want to be able to let their guard down and not have all this pressure as well. So it's really a win-win for everybody when we just all are all more authentic. And like you said, we have to understand people. Even with business, it comes back to understanding people.
Okay. Don?
Well, I'm curious, Karen. I hear what you say, but in my experience, I happen to be married to a Harvard MBA, and in dealing with them and with executives across the world, I've noticed that the more successful men are much more ego-centered and driven, and that more successful women are those that seem to have a softer side. Yet, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that the success comes to those men who have a softer side. Did I hear it correctly?
Well, sometimes it can be in those situations. But if you notice, you know, the dichotomy of meditation and margaritas, it's that you can be serious, you can be assertive, even for a woman, you can be, you know, if you need to speak up and speak out and stand apart from the pack, you can be all of it. So sometimes you need to have fun. Sometimes you need to take a break. But, you know, sometimes you need to, whether it's your defined as your ego or just really speak out above the noise of everybody else. We all have this ability to do that and not just be, you know, so singular focus anymore. And because women, just science shows and studies shows that the female brain is hardwired for multitasking, you know, we work, we come home, we can cook dinner, we can take care of the kids, we can do all these different things. That's where we women are now, you know, starting to get ahead. Of course, we all know, you know, equal pay, and there's some ways where men in the United States still have an advantage, but that is definitely changing. The trend is showing that it's changing over the years.
But how do you teach your program? What are the key elements of your program, and why is it so successful? From what I hear, it's very successful.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I mean, definitely, I've worked with some of the most influential and famous, popular people in the world, and just by osmosis of being around, you know, literally hundreds of these people, selecting them to get paid, you know, from $20,000 to a couple $1 million for a couple hours of their sharing their talent or speaking, you learn a lot just by hanging out with them. And there's just certain things that if you're not in that circle, you don't know. And since they are some of the most visible people in the world, that's what I like to share with other people. And I just want everybody to have a fair chance to reach their dreams. And sometimes it is because you know certain information or not, and this information is not privy to the general public.
Karen, let me, before I ask my next question, is there a website of people can get in contact with you?
Yeah, actually at meditationandmargaritas.com. I actually created a really fun quiz that your listeners can download and take just to assess their meditation margaritas capacity. And that really is just kind of assessing how multifaceted you are and how authentic you are, and helps give some really strong tips about how to advance in business as well. So meditationandmargaritas.com.
We'll put that on our website after the show and encourage our listeners
awesome.
To go there. Now,
thank
let
you.
Me ask
yes.
you a question. As somebody who's done work globally, do you find significant differences depending upon where the country the person is from?
Yes. Language differences, cultural differences, you know, just behaviors. But the one thing that is really common, you said, understanding people, really connecting with people on an authentic level, making an effort to understand, you know, their side of the situation before coming in and saying, oh, I know it all or this and that. So there's always that common bond of depth. And it's really interesting because I was working in a very superficial environment with celebrities, as you know, a lot of glamour. I was flying around the world in private jets and staying in 5-star hotels, chauffeurs. I had everything at my fingertips. And remember, I grew up on a farm, cows and pigs in Idaho. And you know, now that, you know, I'm seeing this other side of things, what really unites all of us is having depth and intention and substance. That's really the core, not just of business, but of humanity. So if you always go to that level, you can always get farther with whatever your goals are.
Are there any particular nationalities that are more difficult for you to work with than others?
I wouldn't say it's a nationality thing, but I would say certain countries or places just have more organized than others. I mean, I lived for a while in East Africa. That was quite a while ago. But back then, you know, there wasn't a lot of, you know, technology or tools in place. Right now, I actually live in Mexico. I'm based in Mexico City. I love it there, but there's still things of getting organized that just it's not the American way, which is a bit, you know, a bit more rigid and organized. I just also came from 3 years in Brazil. They just had, you know, impeached their president. They just had all this huge economic problems still. But in the end, the people are so amazing. Everybody wants a great life. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody, you know, money makes everybody's life easier if you have it. So that's really, you know, if people get real and they're can really stay focused on what they want to do, then they'll be a lot happier in the long run.
If money makes your life easier, how do you feel about the old saying that money can't buy happiness?
Money can't buy happiness, but it sure can make. Yeah, no, I agree. It can make it easier. It's not the final destination, but it does make things easier to get to the end goal. I really am a proponent of people to make money, especially if you want to make a big impact. It costs money. You know, when you get to a higher level and you get these new opportunities, sometimes they don't always pay for them. You have to pay sometimes for media opportunities on your own. You have to pay to grow your business. You have to reinvest in yourself and tools and resources, mentors or coaches. So we are really kidding ourselves if we think we're going to do all of this with, you know, our bank accounts in a negative or a zero. So, and there's nothing wrong with money, right? We know it doesn't create full happiness, so there's nothing wrong with having it either. It's okay to have. We need it.
So, you know, if you look at it from the standpoint of what some perceive as successful people, specifically in the entertainment industry, it is full of broken marriages and drug abuse and alcoholism and suicide. What is it about that particular group of very, very highly visible people with significant wealth? They are so self-destructive.
Well, the problem is that people are not raised on and educated in how to become famous and manage it properly. That's really the main issue. Even if it's you or someone out there that's listening to us right now, let's say you have a great purpose. You have a great business. You want to share it with the world. All of a sudden it catches popularity and fire and everybody's talking about it. You're going to have tons of people coming to you, emailing you, you know, messaging you, wanting to talk to you, and it can be really overwhelming. And then, you know, some people, they think they know you just from your image. It's not really who you are. And it drives sometimes the nicest people into a really dark place. And especially people at the higher level, the same thing happens to them. They end up in rehab or this and that. And it's really unfortunate that people don't get educated on that. But that is definitely something you can learn. And it's actually one of the first things I think I teach, just how to be prepared for it. If you really, really want to make a big impact, are you prepared to get death threats? Are you prepared to get, you know, criticized? You just have to assume it's going to happen. Most of it is in cyberspace, is by the wimpy people hiding behind a computer somewhere. But if you're really on a strong mission to make a difference, then you have to be willing to accept that that's just part of the journey. And it's better to do it now rather than when you end up in rehab later.
It's been my experience as a money manager that sometimes I have an opportunity to speak to a client who has amassed a significant amount of wealth. And yet, one of the most recent examples I saw talked about was Bill and Hillary Clinton. They amassed as much as $250 million, and yet their thirst, and as some people have written, their desire, their passion, their obsession, is that it was never enough. Because if you didn't come from money, and maybe this is what happens with the people in Hollywood and in the media, if you didn't come with money, when all of a sudden you get millions and millions of dollars, you're ill-equipped to deal with it. And it is possibly a reason why so many also go bankrupt, is that they don't know how to deal with the newfound wealth. Do you find that a problem?
Oh, absolutely. Same thing with money and fame. They go together. So yeah, you're totally spot on with that. Yeah, I mean, people just, they're not educated. But I mean, if you manage money, I'm sure you know too that there's not a shortage of money in the world. It's how we handle it. And do we have the proper support and education on how to handle that and still be a good person? So
that's a great illustration. I met a former very prominent NBA basketball player, and he and I were talking one night, sitting in a pool in Key West, Florida, where we were there with our wives for a little day off or two off, and he talked about how professional athletes are ill-equipped to deal with the newfound wealth, and so many of them, even before their career is over, are financially broke. So when you work with people, how do you help them adjust to and manage the wealth that they have?
Right. Well, I have a 4-step system that is literally from being unknown to famous. And if people follow those 4 steps, you're going to be very prepared at every step of the way to know exactly what to do, and kind of the pros and cons and the struggles that you're going to be facing along the way, because there are struggles. And it's a tried and true system. I've pretty much put the best of what I've learned and observed from other people into that. And people are getting results. I mean, one of my clients, she just signed with Simon & Schuster, and she's got this, you know, huge book release at the end of the year. And she was kind of, you know, lost in what to do and how to stand up for what she really believes in. And now she has clarity on what message she wants to share. She knows how to, you know, make money from the book and expand it just beyond, you know, the average book sales of an author, which is actually very low. And then also how to connect with A-listers, how to connect with, you know, your biggest role models. So there's lots of different steps along the way, but I broke it down into four main steps as well.
Don?
Karen, my question is, how did you come up with a name for your website?
Well, Meditation Margarita, so after working with celebrities for a while, I will admit I was kind of got a little bit lost, and I lost my own purpose to live. Remember, I grew up in a really small, humble town, ended up flying around the world, jet-setting around with celebrities, and then I just completely felt empty inside. So I went to Myanmar, Burma, in Southeast Asia, and I did a full year of meditation in silence. So I ordained as a nun. We were not allowed to talk. We had to meditate from 3:30 in the morning till 11 at night. And that's all we did. That's all I did the entire year at a monastery overseas. And that helped me regain my purpose to live. And after that experience, kind of combining the best of the celebrity world, the public figures, with the inner journey, and that's where the Meditation Margarita's name originates from.
Well, if you had three things you had to tell people that you've learned, what would they be?
Yeah, definitely the first one and the most important one is that you are as good as anybody else out there. You're as good as your biggest role models. The only difference is that you might not have as much visibility as they have. You might not have been on TV. You might not have, you know, been in a movie or something, but you are as good as they are right in this moment, but maybe they use different strategies to become popular. So if you know you're as good as they are and you really want to make a big impact as they do, please, you know, go use the right strategies to also increase your influence. That's really important. Second of all, you need a system to follow. You need a tried and true system to follow, or because it's a jungle out there. You guys know, you're in business for a long time. There are 1,000 decisions to make every day. So how do you know what to do next? So always model your business after the celebrity business model. And then third, you've got to get help. No, you know, if you're a money manager or this and that, you have to know you cannot advance as fast as you could without having a mentor or a guide who has experience in the areas that you want to grow in. So those three really are essential.
Karen, how do you charge for your service?
You know, it really depends on the situation that you're in. I have various different programs based on where people are at. If they're just starting out, or maybe they're already successful, it's the whole gamut.
And is there a particular area that you feel that you are best suited to coach and advise people?
Well, you know, the advantage that I've had of being a celebrity talent scout is that I get to oversee all of the different areas. So it is really putting all of the pieces of the puzzle together and be able to look at this, you know, view of it from the sky down. Because the problem that a lot of the coaches or mentors out there are teaching is they're specialized in one area. And that's great. So they might teach you to do a product launch for your business, but they don't know how to help you market. Or they don't know how to help you, you know, get clear on what your marketing language or something like that, or on how to network. So the advantage that I have is because I've had to work with celebrities, like literally select them from a large group of people, help them create their marketing campaign, their publicity campaign, get them on the stage, help them, you know, keep their reputation clean afterwards. We'll have all the pieces together that are essential in your journey when we work together, which is really awesome. And then when you need to specialize, okay, I need help in marketing, I need to get sales, and then I actually do suggest, okay, go work with a specialist in sales if that's what you need, or money management, for example.
How long typically is your engagement with a client?
It ranges anywhere from, I'd say, 2 months to a couple years.
Mm-hmm. And how many are you working with now?
You know, I'm actually just finished a year-long mastermind. It was amazing. I had clients in Scotland, Norway, Abu Dhabi, Canada, Mexico. And now I'm actually on a little vacation. So that mastermind finished, and then I'm doing a new relaunch this summer after this little vacation. And we're going global again, and it's going to be the biggest thing that I've ever done. So I really encourage people to go to the meditationmarias.com website, and we'll be able to keep in touch that way.
How does your service – all right, go ahead, Don.
No, I was just going to ask, where are you located physically?
So I'm based in Mexico City. I just moved in from Brazil. I was there for 3 years, just moved to Mexico City actually a month ago. And so I'm going to stay in Mexico. I lived there a long time ago. I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite places in the world. So that's where I'll be. Everybody should come down for a visit. It's amazing.
Yeah. So how many in my practice, I know that I can only manage money for a certain number of people. Is there an optimal number of people that you can work with? And when you're full, people have to get in line?
Yeah, I mean, now the way I'm structuring my business and what I is more of do-it-yourself strategies to get set up. And then, So, you know, online, I teach people how to create online courses. I think that is by far one of the best practices to make money and help an unlimited amount of people, because you're packaging your wisdom in a, you know, concise format. And then you can help, you know, you can really help anybody. So that's the basic. I really want people to learn how to do the basics on their own, because, you know, I worked with all these people who would get swept away by this big celebrity manager or this, you know, publicity agent. And then after your 5 minutes of fame is over, they drop you and you have no business skills. So the basis is really do it yourself. And then when you need more specialized help, then I can, you know, work with certain people one-on-one, or I'm happy to refer them to different people as well, because I know, I can't do it all. I'm not specialized in every single area. But as far as the foundation, yeah, you'll have all of the basics of that from the beginning. And there's really an unlimited number of people that can consume that when you have an online course, which is part of what I'm teaching now.
Well, Karen, thank you for a fascinating visit with us. We enjoyed having you. One time, real quick, the website where people can reach you.
Yep, meditationandmargaritas.com. So the three words are together. Meditationmargaritas.com. Please go there and take this fun free quiz to assess your meditation margaritas capacity, and we'll be able to stay in touch there.
Thank you so much, Karen, for joining us. And we'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
Hate your old fax machine? You can now fax through email. Simply write an email, attach the document, and send. Works with all major email providers. Get rid of the noisy and expensive old fax machine and try Biscom's Cloud Fax. Our solutions are great for businesses of all sizes. Visit Biscom.com for your free trial. That's BISCOM.com.
Welcome back to Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful. Now it's time for Money in Motion. Dan Perkins is our resident expert in making the money you earn work as hard as you do. Here is Dan Perkins.
Well, Don, the thing I want to focus on this morning is a commentary that's going out this morning, and that is that on the 25th of May, the OPEC oil ministers are meeting in Vienna, trying to decide what they're going to do about oil. We have come down from almost $54 a barrel down to $46 and change at a major support level that's hit three times in the last 6 months. The market is waiting for this OPEC meeting. The Saudis this morning suggested that at this meeting they may extend the production cuts of 1.8 million barrels a day into 2018. That was not enough to move the market. I think if they go into this meeting and they come out with no change in production cuts, we will see the floor that we're in right now in oil prices drop, and we may see a retest of the previous lows in the $26 range. That would be devastating for the world economy and would be devastating for the United States. And at a time when the economic activity is slowing, it could be an ugly time. And I think that OPEC has to initiate an additional production cut, probably between 500,000 and 750,000 barrels a day. If they simply extend the production cuts at these levels, I think it's going to be a bad time for the market. So my prediction, and I've done it the last three or four times that have been pretty accurate, my prediction is that they will come out with somewhere between 500 and 700,000 barrels of additional production cuts, probably not to be instituted until summer or early fall of 2017, and talk about continuing that level out into 2018. And it could be a rocky time here in the next couple of weeks. And ironically, on the 25th of May, my wife and I celebrate our 49th wedding anniversary. So that's all I've got.
Well,
back to you, sir.
That's earth-shattering. And let's hope it's the oil problem that does not become earth-shattering as well. We have 10 seconds. Anything you want to say?
Nope. I think we had a great show today. I enjoyed both guests. They were real interesting. And that's all for me. This is Dan Perkins.
And Don Mazzella.
We'll see you.
Thank you
next
for
week.
Joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's show was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, for past shows and special offers. And until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success.